Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How well do you know the people who want to serve as the next governor of Texas? Primary elections are slated for March, and between now and then, we hope to have each of the major candidates from the Republican and Democratic parties on Think. Recently announced Democratic contender Farouk Shami is our guest today. Best known for his billion-dollar hair care and spa products company, Farouk Systems, Shami began developing his product line, some of it organic and toxin-free, to address the needs of individual salon clients whose hair he cut and colored. That was more than 40 years ago, soon after Shami moved to the U.S. from his native Palestine. He based his company in Houston and has committed in recent years to bringing once-outsourced manufacturing jobs back to U.S. factories. Farouk Shami is in town for a meet-and-greet open house tonight from 6 to 9 at his Dallas campaign office. You can find more information about that at the Farouk Shami for Texas Governor page on Facebook. We will be taking your questions for Farouk Shami throughout the entire hour today, so feel free to call us anytime at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. Farouk, welcome to Think.
Well, thank you, Chris. Pleasure to be with you today.
So you've never run for public office before. Why throw your hat in the ring first time for governor?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, when we talk about public service, I've been in public service for 44 years. I've been serving the public for 44 years. So, I mean, politics was not, you know, really my major. Business had been my major. But serving the people of Texas, I've been, you know, in manufacturing and bringing thousands of jobs and billions of dollars to the state of Texas. That's what I call public service.
How has Texas changed in the time you've lived here?
You know, I really never paid attention to politics. I always paid attention to more or less, you know, my business, focusing on my business, you know, making a good living for my family, for my children, and for my grandchildren. And, you know, I believe in we are in the state of Texas. And if you work hard, you can achieve, you know, your goals in life. And, you know, I think we need to give everybody the opportunity. And that is by giving them jobs. And that's really what the state of economy, to stimulate the economy, there's only one way. And that is creating jobs, innovating jobs, and bringing jobs back to the United States of America, and in particular to the state of Texas. That's one way and only. I don't see it. I'm tired of politicians talking and doing nothing about it. If we want to change, we need to change the way we are doing business. We're not doing it the right way in Texas. And that's what got me to run for the governor, because I'm one of the people who are frustrated with politicians and career politicians who give promises and they never do anything. They got us where we are now, you know. They cannot get us out. They normally don't have an exit, you know, strategy anyway. So I'm the man for the state of Texas.
So what are the politicians right now doing wrong with regard to job creation and job retention?
Well, it's look what they, you know, what they did already. You know, the politicians' policies, you know, that they put, you know, we exported jobs to China, to the Orient, to Korea, to India, all of that, okay? And, you know, we need to stop. You know, I mean, really listening to politicians, we need to listen to ourselves, you know, and I'm one of the business people that we have a responsibility to bring jobs back to United States of America. In particular, we are in Texas. I want to bring jobs to Texas. So the other politician, they put us where we are today. We did not trust them. And why should we trust them again? That's how I look at it. We need somebody who represents the people from the people, you know, for the people. This is what our Constitution is all about. Not to these career politicians who brag how long they've been there. And what did they achieve? Bad economy, bad education, bad health care, you know, bad homeland security, whatever it is. You know, I mean, we're in trouble and we need to get out of that. Only the people can get out of that.
Of course, the folks who are in power right now will argue Texas has fared better in the recession than other states. What accounts for that?
Okay, you know, the state of Texas, with all the natural sources, you know, that we have, we should be in abundance. You know, everybody should have a job. Everybody should have insurance. Why are we so bad in health care? Why are we so bad in in education. You know, what are you talking about? You know, look at the jobs that we are losing. We lost over 400,000 jobs. They brag about it, you know, and they try to cover it under the carpet. That is not the case. We're not in a good financial situation. Look at the people losing their mortgages. Look at the people outside, you know, without jobs. You know, how could they brag about it? You know, unemployment in Texas is still, you know, 10%, you know, and I promise you, I was talking to somebody in certain areas and communities, it's up to 17%, you know. This is a myth that, you know, Texas is doing good. We're not. We should be doing great, not even, you know, not just doing okay. That is not acceptable in the state of Texas, the state that have all the natural resources, the gas, you know, the oil, you know, the land, you know, the ranches that we should have. All of that should really, we should be in the best economy in the world, not mediocre.
Farooq Shami is my guest. He is running as a Democrat in the Texas gubernatorial primary, slated for March of 2010. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. You may have different figures than I have, and I haven't checked this morning. My understanding, though, is that unemployment in Texas is 8.2%, and nationally it's up over 10%. Does that distinction matter?
It does, you know. I mean, you know, like, they're talking about people, you know, who have any kind of jobs, you know, or part-time jobs. We're talking about people without jobs. It's over 10%. And as I said earlier, in many communities, it's over 17%, you know, it's especially in African-American areas, you know. It's really bad. Talk to the people, you know. I mean, I don't go by these numbers.
Let's talk about manufacturing, because that is something that you certainly practice in your company, and you've brought a lot of jobs back to Texas. Are those jobs good enough to really sustain people's lives across the board, not just looking at what you make, but do manufacturing jobs really make sense as a major center of employment in Texas?
Well, you know, listen, the average American and the average Texan is a high school, you know, person. And manufacturing jobs, you know, when you're talking about manufacturing jobs, you know, look what we need, you know, like in my company, I need electronic engineers, I need people in sales, I need people in marketing, I need, you know, electricians, you know, I mean, yes, we need people assembly lines, you know, but, you know, these are good paying jobs and there is insurance that goes with it, you know, I mean. And any job manufacturing is required different levels of jobs and good paying jobs, you know, that can sustain a good family, definitely. There is no other way but to have manufacturing jobs. You know, this is the number one, and that's easiest, you know. If business people speak to their conscience and would be good citizens, they would immediately respond to stimulate the economy by bringing jobs back right away. And we can innovate, you know. Listen, everybody, you know, had, you know, many companies and many corporations had went to China and to India for cheaper labor. What you get in China is cheap labor, yes, for sure. But what you need to get in the United States of America is advanced American technology, advanced jobs, advanced technology that pays better. Okay, manufacturing, in our case, you know, when we manufacture shampoos, conditioners, everything, you know, all of that, that's fine. But the higher jobs that we have, you know, that we brought back from the Orient is manufacturing the Qi iron and the Qi dryer. You know, these are electronic jobs, okay? And when you do that in Korea or China, you got an assembly line of 70 people, okay? And there would come out lots of defect when you have 70 people. Anyway, when we brought it back to the United States of America, we're doing the same job with 13 people. So it's 70 people in China, it's 13 people in Houston, Texas. What we are, you know, we went digital. You know, we manufacture our own boards. We manufacture our own chips. We are using robots also. We really cut the cost down. Though we pay, you know, good salaries here and high-paying jobs, and in China they pay cheap, okay? But look, I mean, we creating jobs in Texas. We don't have defect. We are manufacturing in the United States of America. When you manufacture a product in the United States of America, you are creating a job for an American or a Texan, and you're keeping the money in Texas. So think about that. When you manufacture in China, you have to ship, you have, you know, duties, you have defect. If you take that out, And you don't have to keep that high inventory. It's on time demand. You know, your cash flow is much better. There is no duties. There is no defect. We are competing, you know, with any time China. I did not raise my prices when I brought jobs. At the beginning, it was too high. I was not making profits. But once we digitalize it and we, you know, I mean, we advance the technology, I heard people from NASA who helped me innovate the way we manufacture. So United States of America, advanced technology have made us the top country in the whole world. And if we lose in this technology, you know, to China, we need to bring it back and innovate. They don't have innovation like we have. We are America. We are the leaders of the world in technology, and we need to do that and continue to do that. So that's how we stimulate the economy.
Farouk Shami is my guest. He is running for the Texas Democratic gubernatorial primary in 2010. Our telephone number is 1-800-933-5372, and we'll speak first with Curtis in Dallas. Hello, Curtis.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
I had a quick comment. It's almost like he doesn't actually live in Texas. In this last year, I've had several people that have lost their job, and in fact, we did have a rough patch. But all of the people that I've known that have lost their job have regained their employment. They have, and in fact, most of them have found better employment. So overall, the Texas economy has done excellent, especially compared to some of the other states that I have family in.
Thanks for your call. What do you think about that, Farouk?
I think, you know, the facts are different than what he's saying. I live in Texas. You know, I live every day in Texas. You know, I've been in Texas for almost 40 years. I know what's happening in the economy. I follow up on the economy. I read the paper. I see the news. You know, I talk to people, you know, who are out of side jobs. Look, I mean, we wanted, you know, 1,000 jobs. We had 6,000 applications. So, I mean, I don't know where the, you know, the gentleman is getting his information. You know, I mean, what I have is facts on the grounds. You know, last week we had workforce and employment, you know, day, you know, to have people come applying for jobs. Another thousands and thousands of people. Every place, you know, you have a job fair, you have thousands of people coming without jobs, you know. I mean, who are we comparing, you know, our economy, you know? I mean, is that the way we want to feel about the economy, mediocre, you know, are we getting by? That is not the way. That's not the way. We need to improve the economy by, you know, the, you know, providing jobs, you know. Look at, you know, I mean, I wish, you know, he would read the papers about the jobs that's closing on a daily basis, you know, in Texas.
Do you find that the average high school graduate from a public school in Texas is prepared to enter the workforce without any additional education?
Some, to an extent, you know, we really lack in that, you know, and that's something in talking about education and reforming education, you know, if we bring jobs back to the United States of America immediately, we need to train the people. Look, I'm hiring about 30 people a week. And then what we have, some of them on these electronics, you know, we have to train them for a month and 2 months and 3 months. So, no, we are not prepared, you know, but we are getting prepared. I'm working with Lone Star College, for example. We put in programs there, and we are adding apprenticeship programs. We, you know, also a community college in Houston, you know, we're working with them as well. And that is, you know, like they put in electronic, you know, and they put in like how to manufacture and how to install solar panels. You know, that's a program, you know, we are interested in, because I like to see us creating 150,000 jobs within a year time, and that is manufacturing solar panels. You know, we need to care about our environment and clean our environment, you know. I mean, we are polluting. Texas is more polluted, especially Houston. You know, one of the most polluted cities in the United States of America.
Let me have you stop there. We need to take a quick break. Farouk Shami is my guest. He is running for the nomination of the Democratic Party in the 2010 primary for governor. We'll resume our conversation in a moment and invite you to join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or emailing think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, announcing a new 9-month intensive CFP certificate program starting in January in Plano. You can learn more at smu.edu/plano-cfp.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Farooq Shami is my guest. He is running for the Texas Democratic gubernatorial primary in March. He's in town for a meet-and-greet open house tonight at 6 to 9 at his Dallas campaign office. You can learn more about that at the Farooq Shami for Texas Governor page on Facebook. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-933-5372. I want to talk a little bit more about education. You have said that we should focus less on standardized testing when it comes to improving the quality of education. What is the best way to hold schools and teachers accountable for the progress they're making?
You know, we need to focus on math and sciences, you know, definitely on reading and writing, you know, but we don't need to be qualifying our students and focusing our teachers' time only on to pass a test, you know. Today and age, you know, we need to compete with today's age and economy, you know, and by teaching biotechnology, advanced technology, that's what we need, you know. We need to improve our quality of education, you know, and as I said earlier, you know, we need to improve vocational, you know, training, you know. Not everybody, you know, is going to be a doctor and lawyer and engineer, you know, that's, we need that, and we have plenty of that, but we need to train people, you know, into a technology. You know, this is really today's an age to compete with the economy of today globally. We need better education than what we have now. Texas is lacking. We are third bottom in education in the United States of America. You know, I mean, why? Why should we be behind? We are spending $2,000 less than the average state, other states in the United States of America. Why are we doing that? Why are we neglecting that? Okay, we have the highest dropouts, you know, not finishing college. I'm sorry, high school, you know, or college even, okay? We have the highest in teenage pregnancies, you know, all of that. These things are really very alarming, you know, in the state of Texas. Texas should be the richest state, the best state, you know, and it all starts with education. I personally was a school teacher for 4 years, so education is very important. My family is in education. My two brothers are, you know, two professors. My father was one, you know, so I come from a family education. And as a company, Farooq System and GUSA became number one in the United States of America through education. Our motto have been environment, education, and ethics. I have over 2,000 trainers, educators who promote, you know, and who educate salons on being environmental, you know, being green, you know, and features and benefits of, you know, good products, upgrading the profession. So I succeeded because of education and my commitment to education. And that's my commitment to the state of Texas, to improve and reform education, you know. And that is very important to our children, grandchildren, and the future of America relies on education. We cannot do it without advancing our education.
Why are so many kids in Texas dropping out, and what could you as governor do to change that?
I think we need to motivate kids, you know. I mean, I was speaking at a middle school, you know, the other day, you know, and I had 400 students, and it was a career day, you know, and they, you know, I mean, really, it was a snowy day, even, you know, the kids wanted to play in snow. They're 12 to 14 years old, you know, and but I was able to capture them by motivating them. What do you want to be? You can do what you want, you know, you can achieve in life, you know. We need to motivate the, you know, students, you know, definitely, you know. And we need to motivate the teacher, but paying them better, qualifying them better, hold them to a higher standard, you know, of education. You know, that is very important, you know, to advance that. But you need to motivate the kids, you know, and we need even to, you know, teach them prevention and fitness. That's very important. A sound mind is in a sound body, and that's very important for our the future of our society, definitely.
Let's go next on the line to David in Denton. Hi, David.
Yes, I'd originally called. I just wanted to agree with Mr. Shami and, you know, disagree with the previous caller. Everyone I know that's out of work, including myself and my wife, are still looking for jobs. And my wife's got one at $2 an hour waiting tables, if that counts as replacing a career job with a legacy airline. But and also, on his point on education, I've got no data to back it up, but I've long believed if we paid teachers like we pay police, we'd have to pay fewer police.
Thanks for your call. What do you think about that?
David, you're right. You know, you're one of the people who are aware, you know, and I hope everybody realizes that and speak out, you know, and the only way we can change that is by choosing the right people who's going to run the state of Texas. You know, we cannot sit on the side like I did in the past personally and say, well, no, we cannot make a change. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can do it. If we want to change, we're going to have to do it. We can't rely on government. You cannot rely on politicians. We have to do it ourselves.
We have an email here from Leonard who wants to know if you talk about your position on the death penalty.
Well, everybody talks about the death penalty. You know, this is a really a major controversy. You know, I do believe in justice that has to take place, you know, and I believe in being very, you know, strong and stiff on crime. You know, definitely we need to bring that down. And believe me, you know, creating jobs and providing opportunity and providing hope to every individual, you know, will, you know, reduce violence. And death penalty, you know, it's really hard. We need to make sure that the justice is done 100% right with no doubts. You know, we don't want to be in a situation to find out somebody, you know, was sentenced to death and years later find out that person was innocent. That is not right, you know. We cannot trust that. We need to make sure 100%. But do I approve a death penalty if it's no doubt and 100% in a jury and everybody agrees to that? And no doubt. This is so important. We cannot just kill a life. We can't just kill a life and regret it later. It's too late. You know, this is sad if it happens. So, you know, yes, I would be strong on crime, definitely.
Strong on crime, so that means you believe we should keep the death penalty as it is?
Yes.
Okay. My understanding is that you are a Quaker. Do you find that your position on the death penalty is in conflict with your faith?
To an extent, yes, absolutely. You know, I wish we didn't have to do it, you know, but if that teaches people not to commit, you know, kill people, you know, killing another soul, killing innocent people, you know, that we need to teach people a lesson not to do that, you know. I mean, definitely, you know, I hate to say it, you know, but, you know, you're right, you know. I mean, it conflicts with my, you know, my conscience for sure, definitely, and my belief.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We'll go next to Grand Prairie and speak with Angela. Hello, Angela.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Shami. I'm really enjoying your comments today.
Thank you, Angela. Appreciate it.
I'm calling because I just wanted to share that I recently moved to Texas 2 years ago from California, and I completely agree with what you're saying about the numbers that the government officials are always bragging on about unemployment being only 8.2%. Most of the people I know here are working at very underpaid jobs, making anywhere from $4 an hour to $8 an hour, which is not a sustainable wage. It's ridiculous. Most of the jobs don't have any type of insurance benefits.
Yeah.
And people are working really hard. They're afraid to take breaks because employers are just kind of dangling over them the threat that there's 1,000 people in line for their job.
Yes,
it's a very, very bad situation. And this is not, you know, this is for folks who have high school diplomas, but also folks who have college degrees are in this same situation, very underemployed.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, the economy that I came out of, I haven't been there in the recent wake of all the things that have happened in California, but one thing that I noticed that was different was there were jobs that were available with median incomes, like, you know, from $10 to $15 an hour that a person could obtain if they were just able to communicate well and present themselves well. They didn't necessarily have to have a degree in order to make a fairly decent wage. And I see a big gap here in Texas based on education as to what type of employment you can get that actually is going to pay a livable wage. And then real quickly, I want to say in ending it, my comment, my daughter just graduated from high school here, and she didn't learn anything new from 10th grade when she got here to 12th grade. She was taking AP classes in California. She got here, and the AP classes that she was in were basically doing what the work she did in the 9th grade.
Wow.
In California. And what we found in the school she was attending is that they were more concerned about policing the kids than inspiring them.
Thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Angela, you're so right, you know, absolutely. And of course, it's supply and demand, you know, and, you know, the cost of living in California is higher, you know, we can say that, but everybody deserves a good paying jobs to make a good living. It's really amazed me that we are a country who can spend $1 trillion on a war in Iraq, is useless war in Iraq, and have our veterans come back to no jobs and have our people being homeless. You know, it's sad the situation it is. We need to change that. We need to urgently create jobs for everybody. Good paying jobs, green jobs, environmental jobs. That's what I'm referring to.
What do you think the governor's role is in maintaining a secure border with Mexico?
Secure border, you know, I mean, we're talking about that. That is a federal thing, you know, I mean, with, to do with immigration and border. But, you know, I really disagree with the way, you know, Texas, we have the longest border, you know, is with Mexico, of course. And if we recall, you know, the Republican president, you know, President Reagan, you know, he called on the Russian leader at that time, you know, Mr. President, bring that wall down. And then we see the Republican president, you know, George Bush, erecting a wall between us and Mexico. I don't believe that we need walls, you know. I think we need secure borders, definitely, you know. We need legal immigration, definitely. But the only way to do it, and I've been speaking to lots of security people, you know, and officials, you know, what we need is to populate the border and turn that wall into opening businesses on both sides. One door to Mexico, one door to the United States of America. Mexico responsible for their people to create jobs for them, and we're responsible, you know, to create jobs for our people. We can make that as free zone, duty-free zone, and that will populate the border. That will cut down on crime. You know, I think Mexican people are not in a hurry or rush to come to the United States of America if they have jobs on their side. And yes, that is the responsibility, you know, of Mexican business people, as it is the responsibility of our American, you know, people, that business people, that we create jobs on our side and their side. I think on the long term, that would resolve the issue of immigration and border control. You know, people are not born criminals. People, you know, they need hope. They need jobs. That is very important, you know, and that's what, it's a long term. It's not something that we can resolve overnight, you know, that, because it didn't happen overnight.
Should the undocumented immigrants who are already here and working be allowed to stay and keep those jobs that they have?
You know, I think, you know, what we need legal immigration. And I think, you know, people can are working and being taxpayers, you know, that can, you know, they can get into a legal status. Definitely we need legal immigration. You know, definitely we need, you know, everybody to be legal. But, you know, doing it the right way. We need to do that.
I have an email here from Susan who asks, why did you choose to run as a Democrat rather than a Republican?
You know, that's a good question, you know. I mean, with all respect, you know, I mean, I don't represent just Democrat or Republican. I see something good in both parties. I see something wrong with both parties, you know. But I see the Democrat Party that's more open-minded, you know, at this point. That's what I'm running as a Democrat.
In the last gubernatorial election, you gave $24,000 to Kinky Friedman's campaign, and you were listed, at least in the New York Times, as an advisor to him. Why did you support Kinky back then, and why are you running against him now?
Kinky is a good friend of mine. You know, that's, you know, so now we separate friendship from politics. You know, so we remain friends and we'll continue to be friends, definitely.
Was there something he was saying then that appealed to you that no longer does?
A friendship. Okay. I mean, I separate friendship from business and from politics. So that's how I look at it. I have respect for him and his opinion. You know, I mean, he has his own people. I have my own people, definitely. You know, we differ on opinion and we agree on things, maybe.
Farouk Shami is my guest. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Colin in Frisco. Hello, Colin.
Hi, I agree with a lot of things that you're saying, sir, and I think that you really have a new and progressive way of looking at the office, but I was just wondering, why do you feel that what do you feel makes you more qualified than the career politicians that are currently running?
Thanks for your call.
Well, thank you for, you know, asking what qualifies me more than the other. I'm an honest man. I'm not a career politician, okay? I'm a businessman who is sincere about serving the state of Texas and the people of Texas. You know, just remember, you know, if you don't know, I'm running for $1 salary a year, and the rest I'm going to give it to charity. I'm not running for name or fame or money. I already made that. This country, this state have been giving me the opportunity to live the American dream. I am ready to serve. You know, my family is running my business. My staff is running my business. I want to serve the state. And when we're talking about stimulating the economy, that's the urgent and most needed in the United States of America, and in particular in Texas, I want to do that. The other guys don't qualify. My history speaks for myself. I bring in jobs. I'm innovating jobs. Okay, and they are not. I challenge any of those people who are running, you know, or opponent to me. If any of them have held a job or, you know, I mean, or ran a business, okay, or know how to balance a budget or create a job or manufacturing jobs, I qualify, you know, for the job, and I don't think they do.
You have said you will spend $10 million of your own money on this campaign. Is that symbolic of your commitment to things, or is that an acknowledgement of the fact that it might be hard for you to raise a lot of money from other sources?
Well, look, no, that's not symbolic. You know, this is practical. You know, we live in a big, big state. You know, I need to reach every, you know, person in the state of Texas. And, you know, that needs money. And, you know, look at the other politicians. Where do they get their money? From special interest group, from lobbyists that they owe them. The minute they are in office, they owe them. They want to give them jobs. They want to give them contracts. I am free from that. I need donations. I need money, you know, I mean, from people. I need the $5 and $10 and $15, you know. I don't owe anybody. I'm not getting the $10 from somebody and promising them a job or a contract. The other candidates, you know, who always ran, you know, for the state or, you know, a job, that's what they get their money. When they, you know, when somebody gives you big money, you know, what are you going to do? They're going to sign their check, you know, they're going to ask you what to do. And that is what's ruining our politics and career politicians. We need to get out of that. You know, I'm not saying everybody have to have that much money, but we can raise that money, you know, so I'm willing to put my name, my money, where my mouth is.
Farouk Shami is with us. He is running for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination. We'll resume our conversation in a moment. You can join us by sending email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education. Announcing a new 9-month intensive CFP certificate program starting in January in Plano. You can learn more at smu.edu/plano-cfp.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Democratic gubernatorial primary candidate Farouk Shami is my guest. He will appear tonight at a meet-and-greet open house at his Dallas campaign office from 6 to 9. You can find information about that at the Farouk Shami for Texas Governor page on Facebook. If you want to join us, send email to think@kera.org. Our phone number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Brett in Louisville. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good, good. Farouk, thanks for putting yourself out there. And this question is in regards to the property tax issue. I'm sure you heard about Robin Hood, where they would take from wealthier school districts and put money into, you know, poorer school districts.
Right, right.
And, you know, by Texas law, it's supposed to go to the local district. Mm-hmm. And that has been shot down, but Texas legislation keeps introducing Robin Hood-like laws. And I'm wondering what your opinion is on that, where local money goes to local schools. Because, you know, I know in the district we live in, they're laying teachers off and they're having to cut benefits and they're pulling money. The state is actually pulling money out of the district and not even necessarily having to use it on state funding, I mean, on education. I'm just curious on what you feel about that.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, you know, you're bringing a very, very good point, you know, and I appreciate that. Okay. I think, first of all, in Texas, we have really too much of a high tax, a property tax. okay, that, you know, we pay with everything with that. My solution for that, really, you need a really basic solution that satisfies everybody, and that is by creating jobs and more people working. If we create more jobs and everybody have a job, then everybody's paying taxes. And guess what? We can lower, honestly, we can lower property tax. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can create enough jobs in the state of Texas, you know, and more taxpayers. And the more taxpayers, you know, we have, we can lower taxes, you know, on that. So I think that would please everybody, and not to have to go to the Robin Hood, you know, that you mentioned, definitely.
A lot of small business owners are really concerned about the ramifications of the healthcare overhaul, concerned that they're going to have to pay more and that they can't afford it, or they can't afford to hire more people because of the limitations on how many employees you can have before you are required to pay for healthcare. What's your perspective on that?
You know, I'm a businessman, and I give insurance to all people, you know. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, insurance in the last 8 years went up 91.4%. And if we leave it as it is right now, in the next 10 years, it will grow, you know, to 166%. That means that it would cost me, each employee, about $28,000 a year.
Regardless of their salary.
That would put me out of business. Mm-hmm. That would put me out of business, you know. We need to reform, you know, healthcare. Definitely. It's urgent to stop those drug companies and insurance company who's taken us to the cleaners. I mean, we need to regulate that. We need to stop them. We need to give them competition. We cannot, you know, let them, you know, it's easy to buy insurance, but try to get a claim paid, you know, or they give you the runaround unless you go to court and cost you so much money. I mean, this is ridiculous the way we have insurance, you know, these companies. And who's getting rich? We're getting poorer. The average person's getting poorer. And those people are getting rich. We need to stop them. That is the first day, you know, when I'm in, as the governor of Texas, business as usual, stopping, especially starting with the insurance companies. You know, those are the ones who give to politicians, you know, and these drug companies who spend so millions and billions on advertising their products. You know, we need health care that takes care of people, you know, not take care of sickness. We need prevention health care, you know, to start with. You know, the way the system is so screwed up, you know, absolutely, we cannot afford to keep doing that. You know, health care should be available to and affordable to every person, you know. We deserve good health care. We are United States of America. We cannot have good health care only for the rich and the famous. And that is not true. That's not the case. And it shouldn't be, you know, because most of the cases you find sickness and, you know, people sick, you know, at the lower income people, you know, and less nutrition, you know, all of these things, you know, causes that. We need to reform that, you know, major, major reform.
So you won't take money from health care companies or insurance companies or drug companies?
Never, my God, you know, these are the enemies of the people. I am representing the people, you know, not these companies. Let the other opponents, you know, I mean, these career politicians, that we need them out. That's, you know, who really gives them the money. Look at the ads on TV, you know, these drug companies and insurance companies trying to fight health care, you know, and I mean, on reforming healthcare, you know, I mean, and, you know, they're using all these excuses, you know, I mean, of entrepreneurship and creativity and innovation, all of that. That is not the case, you know. I mean, you know, people go to the emergency room and pay $600, $700, $800, pay, you know, $20 for a box of Kleenex. That's ridiculous, you know. That's not the way. We need to regulate, you know, these insurance companies, give them competition. Give them competition. You know, that is not, that's not the way it should stay as it is now.
Farouk Shami is my guest. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Ryan in Fort Worth. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I had a question. Basically, I was just wondering about the whole Texas being a right-to-work state. It seems that we have a lot of unions, and the unions seem to have almost empowered a lot of the people that are at the senior level of the union. And what I've noticed in happening is a lot of the guys who do really work hard and have high productivity, when a recession hits or business goes bad, they're the first to get laid off, and they're the first to lose jobs and have a hard time getting another job, versus you got a lot of times guys at the senior level of any time on the union scale, they tend to want to do less work and put out less productivity, but at the same time, it's the unions make it difficult to where we can you know, keep the strong, hardworking, giving employees that want to work for a company and want to create productivity versus guys who really don't, and they're protected by these unions. And I guess I was just wanted to see what your comment would be on that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah, definitely, you know, I mean, unions are very strong people, and I think we need to work with unions. I like union if it's done right and if really we can work with them. You know, union is for what? To protect the good labor, to protect the people, provide them with a safer environment, you know, a good pay. The concept is great, you know, but we need to practice it with lots of conscience and with motivation, you know. We need, you know, an employee need, you know, loyalty in to the factory or the company that they work with. At the same time, loyalty to the concept of union, you know, is, you know, to protect people, you know, and to provide them, you know, and improve their lives and improve the condition they work with, you know. So everything is good in moderation and doing it for the sake of the state and the sake of the country, definitely.
Are there unionized laborers working for Farouk Systems?
No, we're not unionized, you know. I mean, we're not. You know, Farouk Systems is not part of a union, you know. And because I don't think, you know, there are, you know, people in the same business, you know, much. You know, probably we're the only company in the state of Texas that's doing the kind of work that we're doing, you know. So, but we take good care of our people, definitely, you know. I mean, we treat them as if they were, you know, union. They are our own union, let's put it that way.
We have an email here from Paul who says, I agree with a lot of what you're saying and honestly think after listening for only a few minutes, you have some good ideas. How do you plan to market yourself to the large number of red-blooded Republicans in Texas who fear anyone that even appears to be foreign?
he's right and he's practical, definitely, you know, but I mean, we need the new thinking, you know, that's the people who makes the difference. They're all thinking, we are a state of immigrant, we are a country of immigrant, and, you know, minorities is majority now, you know, and people, I hope, you know, that they listen to issues and what's important for the state. Nobody has the choice where they are born. They have the choice where to live. I have the choice to live in Texas, and I love Texas more than most of those hypocrites, shall we call them. And they need to look at issues, you know, and I'm a good taxpayer, you know, I'm a good citizen, you know, and my record proves that, you know, against all odds and against all opponents that's running, you know, I'm the most qualified as a Texan. I have pride. I have respect for the state. I have love for the state, and I love America, and I have a choice where to live, and I choose to be Texan. I choose to be American, and I'm a rancher. I'm a good citizen, let's put it that way.
Do you have a 10-gallon hat and a pair of boots?
I do that. I have lots of boots and lots of hats, for sure. Every color you can think of.
Farouk Shami is with us. Our number is 1-800-933-5372. Let's go next to Montana in Arlington. Hi, Montana.
Well, hi. I was not expecting to get on, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Welcome.
I am a union man, by the way, and I appreciate your answer on that. But my question is this, okay? You look at all states, and every state that we have, a Democratic governor, especially with the Democratic state Congress, they're broke. We have been ran by Republicans. Yes, they do have some different ideology on how they should treat the poor and so forth. But we've been able to maintain our heads above water. We had a Democrat once before, Ann Richards, and under her administration, we lost a lot of our telecommunication businesses. That I know firsthand because I was in it. What makes you different? Because every time we have a Democrat, we tend to get less work and more taxes and less opportunity for people like me. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for calling.
Montana, thank you for the question, you know, and I'm glad you got on, you know. The way I look at it, it's not Republican or Democrat, it's a person and it's a commitment, you know. And I met with the union, the steel union, you know, for Denise last week. I met with Becky in Austin, and I believe in what you believe, you know, and yes, we will work together beautifully, I promise you.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to David in Denton. Hi, David.
Hi. So I just, well, my question was, I used to live in Arlington. If you're not familiar with the DFW area, there's I-30, I-20, and 360, and you don't pay tolls on any one of those roads. And I just recently moved to Frisco, and now I pay tolls for every highway that I drive on, whether it's the tollway or 121 or George Bush. So I started thinking, I was wondering where does all the money that, like, each car sometimes pays 65 cents. And if you pay, I mean, I was thinking if the government charged 1 cent for every single car that passed through the tollway, I'm pretty sure that they would still get a lot of money, but they're even charging 65 cents to a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would think that, they'd be making a lot more money, and where does that money go to? And I know that it costs money to make the tollways, and a lot of money goes into the construction, and they're still building.
Yeah, David, thanks for talking. Let's talk about transportation infrastructure and the best way to handle that in a state that continues to grow and continues to need more and more roads.
You know, David, you're absolutely right. You know, lots of this toll, you know, it's really gone even to companies who are either out of state or out of the country even, you know. And that must stop. You know, we cannot be exporting our money to other people. You know, we need to make sure that we take care of our roads, you know, and our transportation. And I think, you know, Mr. Hank Gilbert, you know, had a good program. You know, he wanted to raise, you know, the price of gas into a few cents there to pay for constructing our roads and repairing roads and all of that. And, you know, and even my opinion is really go to these oil companies who are making the fortune, you know, from us, you know, and either, tax them on that or have them, you know, pay for that. You know, we're paying too much for gas already and all of that. But we need better roads, you know, and we need to expand our roads, you know. But we don't want somebody from out of state or out of the country coming to take that to road, you know. And it stays forever and forever you pay in that dollar or $1.50. That's way too much beyond, you know, acceptance, in my opinion.
Last thing I want to ask you, we have a few seconds to go. What do you think is your biggest challenge in gaining the support that you'll need to win the Democratic primary?
Everything is a challenge in life, you know, and I'm for it, you know. I'm a person who is determined to win that and meet with the people and reaching the people of Texas, you know. So my challenge is to meet as many people as possible, you know. That's about it, you know. I don't see the other opponents, you know, have anything better, you know. And if, you know, the people use their conscience and look what is best for the state of Texas, I'm the best candidate for the great state of Texas. I'll be the greatest governor ever in the history of the state of Texas. That's, I believe, because I'm coming on an urgent, you know, emergency time, you know, to revive the economy, to stimulate the economy, and put the state on the right, honest track, not the track of lobbyists and special interest groups and career politicians who we refer to them as crooks, corrupted. I'm an honest man.
Farouk Shami is founder and board chairman of Farouk Systems Group and a declared candidate for the Texas Democratic gubernatorial primary. He'll be appearing at his headquarters tonight from 6 to 9. Farouk, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. I need the vote of every one of your listeners, you know, so I can run the state in the right direction, the direction of the people for the people. I am Texan.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you, Chris.
Betsy Lewis, and engineer Nilifer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.